Dr. Marketing Tips, paging Dr. Marketing Tips. Dr. Marketing Tips, you're needed in the marketing department.
Welcome to the Dr. Marketing Tips Podcast, your prescription to the answers you seek to grow your medical practice easier, better, and faster. This show is all about connecting practice administrators and medical marketing professionals with peers working in practices, learning from experiences, making mistakes, and sharing successes. Let's get started.
Hey there, welcome to the Dr. Marketing Tip Show. I am Jennifer.
And I'm Corey.
And today we're going to talk about something that will just wear you out. And that's the idea of this need to always have continuous content, whether it's for your website or your social media or continuously updating your directory listings or focusing on, you know, your employees and always just putting it out there. You know, and how essential it is into your overall marketing.
Yeah, we are definitely in a culture of more, and people always want more social, more website content, and not only people, but
the algorithms.
The algorithms, exactly. So it makes sense to continually update your website, which, you know, in practice, it sounds great. But then when you actually go to do it, so in theory, it sounds great. In practice, when you go to do it, it's actually pretty hard to maintain all of those different channels and create original, consistent content. And I think the key there is consistency when it comes to creating content, whether you're talking about a website or social media or emails or employee communications, you name it. If the content is not consistent, then that's where things really start to fall down, not only from a strategic perspective, but then you also start to fall down from a search engine optimization perspective and from a employee communication standpoint. If you're not communicating to them, they start to wonder what's going on and then they just make things up. So consistency is key. Yeah.
Well, and I think even like in this new age of AI, you know, there's this idea that, okay, well, it's easier to produce content, but it's not easier to produce content because even with AI, you have to put eyes on it, human eyes. You have to make sure it's not plagiarized. You have to make sure it's on brand and it's on message. And, you know, I was having a conversation with somebody about like, yeah, AI is helpful in certain areas, but the reality is it's brought the bar up so high and it's created a pace for content generation that there's no way we can physically keep up with the pace that we're all running.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, the more that you see AI used, the more, the easier it is to kind of spot, right, when someone didn't actually go back through it. And so that's sort of like the next hurdle is, so, okay, you're saying I need to create a bunch of content. And what a lot of people have done, marketing agencies, you know, medical people in practices, everyone's doing it. And you say, okay, well, I'm going to go to a ChatGPT or something similar and say, write me these 6 pieces of content about knee surgery. Take those, copy, paste, put them on the website. Great. Now I have 6 weeks of content. But it doesn't really work like that because, again, the search engines, they want original high-quality content because they want to feed good answers to their users. So they are becoming more adept very quickly at identifying when something is written by AI.
Well, there's a new AI that will help you identify if it was written by AI.
Exactly.
And I literally put something in it this morning to do a plagiarism check and to see if I was breaking any kind of copyright rules with the piece of content I was reviewing. And the first half of it looked original, wasn't the best, but the second half of it was 100% AI generated.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And I think that the thing to do is, or like the way to look at it is to say, okay, AI is really good at just mitigating writer's block. Mm-hmm. So if you need to write So if you need to write something, you can put it in there and you can get some really great stuff back. But then you have to kind of take it to that next level, and that's where the content can really pay off. The flip side of that is that's where all the time is spent. So does it save you time? Yes. But does it still require your time? Also, yes.
Absolutely. And so let's talk about why content is so important and how continuous content, wherever it's being delivered, is necessary to really feed the beast or feed the algorithm.
Yeah. So let's start and talk about search engines. So Google specifically really likes when websites are consistently updated with really good content. And again, that's just because they want to focus on providing the best value for their users. And their users are looking for the best answers. So by consistently updating the content, you're going to make Google happy. And the happier that Google is, the higher you're going to rise. So I think that that's pretty clear. Same thing with social. If you produce content that is engaging and produces likes, comments, shares, that sort of feeds the beast, if you will, for Facebook, Instagram, whatever, because they thrive off of that that attention. So if you're developing content that is engaging and you're doing that consistently, you're going to get more of that algorithm pie and show up more often in feeds.
That's correct.
Yeah. And then from an email standpoint, if we're talking about patience, let's say, you know, same thing. You want to be consistent with your content there, but you want to provide the value in the content. So I was actually just having this conversation the other day. We were talking about developing a monthly email strategy. And yeah, it makes sense to continually reach out because you don't know where everybody is on their patient journey and who it's going to help, you know, to have that helpful reminder once a month. But you have to actually have something to say. You can't just say, oh, I need an email for November. I forgot about it. Happy Thanksgiving in an email, and then send that to all your patients. Because what value is that really providing? Then you're going to get unsubscribes, and it's not
really
worth it at that
point. It's part of like a content ecosystem, you know, and having that full ecosystem in place. So I can relate because we have, at Insight Marketing Group, we have about 15 different subspecialties that we work within that we really focus on. And we have an email newsletter for each subspecialty. And then we have a content development plan for each subspecialty. So we're producing anywhere from 2 to 3 blogs or pieces of content per month per subspecialty, which has now become 30 to 50 blogs a month. And then we have an email that goes out with it as we're helping to nurture and develop that list and really provide real tactical advice within the subspecialty. And we can't just, like you said, you can't just send a November email. It needs to be something that people can actually use.
Right. Yeah. Because, I mean, just like any piece of content, if it's not useful and it's not engaging.
Delete.
Right.
And all that effort.
Yeah.
All that effort and energy and for nothing.
Right down the drain. Yeah. Another benefit of this sort of consistent content is, you know, you want to be presented as an authority and an expert in the field and in your region specifically when we're talking about medical practices. So if you're able to quickly produce content, let's say about a new procedure or maybe there's like a specific you know, item in the news that relates to your community, but you can produce something really quick based on that, and your competitors are just sort of sitting on their hands or, you know, their eye is not on
the ball.
They're
going through an approval process,
sure.
Which, yeah.
Right. So automatically that's an advantage to you because let's say you produce this piece of content, you put it up on your website, then you can fire that off in social. You can put that in your email newsletter we were just talking about, and it's sort of, it feeds all of the different spokes for the wheel. And it's positioning you as sort of having your pulse on what's going on. Maybe it's in relation to what's going on in the community or what's going on within your subspecialty or, you know, whatever the case may be. So there's a definite benefit there as well.
You know, I will say this too, like, whenever you can do video content, I think there's so much more value with video versus written. I think written's great for somebody who's doing research on a weekend, you know, someone like you or I that likes to read, you know, that still likes to digest long form content, but you can, it's difficult at this point to even differentiate between human written content and AI written content.
When it's done well.
Yeah. So I know that the naysayers will be like, wait, you could do this with video. But the reality is it's a lot harder to replicate or to turn this conversation that you and I are having into AI generated content. So you can really then dive into subject matter experts and authority by producing video and getting that video out there, and then that video can become long-form content. But the reality is if we want to have that authority, start with this video that we're doing right now.
Well, not only that, but it's also authentic.
Very.
So if you are trying to build authority for one of your providers, the video is the way to go. Because not only will that establish them as an expert, but it will also give patients a glimpse as to who they are. And we know just from experience that that can be the tipping point for someone to say, you know what, I like that provider. That makes sense. Whatever they just said, that resonates with me. I'm going to book an appointment with them.
And I don't know that. I mean, we always do video because we like to have the video side of things and then the audio side of things. Not a lot of people watch our videos. We use the video that we then duplicate into other things that we can recreate it for social. But the reality is people get to know us on this show mainly through our audio podcast on Spotify and iTunes and groups like that. And kind of what you just said, like, it's authentic. People get to know us. It's the same with doctors. And so I think start with good quality content that's very authentic and let it trickle down in however you can recreate it and really expand its usage on your website, on social, and other places.
Yeah. So I would say that if you're listening to this and
or watching.
Or watching.
Or reading about it.
But mostly listening.
Yeah.
If you're nodding along and you're like, okay, this makes sense. I want to do this. What do I do? So going back to the idea of AI. So I think that starting there is where you should be. Maybe visit like ChatGPT, because again, you can use that for free and you can say, I want to build a content strategy for my medical practice. I am a specialist in wherever you are. This is what we focus on. Our goal is to increase patient counts specifically for blank procedure. And then I need a content calendar. I want to produce 2 blogs a month. What would they be starting January 1? Go. And then see what it comes back with. Mm-hmm. So it'll run. It'll do the research. It'll come back with some suggestions. Some are going to be good. Some you're going to laugh at. They're not going to be great. But what that's going to do is allow you to, and that's where the time efficiency comes into play too, because then you've got a pretty decent jumping off point where you can then add your expertise on top of that, knowing the politics of the practice and all the other things that kind of go with that. Develop your content strategy from there. Then you can worry about writing. So I would say start with the actual planning and really lean into AI to help you do that so you don't lose half a day just scratching your head and trying to figure it out.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, try, fail, start again.
Totally.
See what works. Rinse, recycle, repeat. Like, just keep going. The consistency is what will get you right.
Right. Yeah. And then to do that, once you've got your strategy, you can go back to AI and then you can start to, you can ask it to write content. And then when it comes back, I think that another really good tip is don't be afraid to treat the AI chat you're having like it's a conversation. So it's going to come back with something. Some of it may be good. Some of it's probably going to be a little goofy. But the more that you use it, you can kind of hone in on your voice and the voice that you want for your practice. So go back and forth with it, get it close enough, then that's where you take it, rewrite it, and really kind of make it your own so it's not an AI piece. But once you do that one or two times, it's going to make the third and fourth time a lot faster. So from there, you can sort of build out your content strategy and really start to put the pieces in place.
Yeah, and I think that, let me ask you this. So if you are developing a content strategy and you only have so many hours in the day, what content should you focus on first in terms of your website?
Yeah, I would say you want to focus on what people are going to be searching for. So a lot of times, and take a look at your website just to make sure, but a lot of times what will happen is when someone builds a website out, you'll build a treatment page or procedure page, and then there's going to be a bulleted list on there, and those don't actually go anywhere. So I would say that that's a really good spot to start, because then you can start to rank for those specific treatments and procedures that your doctors really care about. So that's a good place to start.
I would take it a step further, and I would say, of those treatments and procedures, which ones actually have the best reimbursement rates?
Yeah, what is going to be the most profitable?
Yep. Which ones do you enjoy doing the most?
Mm-hmm.
Because then that helps us prioritize, because there's so many things that competing for our attention. Let's prioritize what we need to do.
Yeah, so yeah, you're absolutely right. It makes sense to kind of, dig through some of the reporting and the metrics that you have at your disposal and say, okay, so what is the most profitable? Maybe where's the most capacity? Is there a bunch of capacity for physical therapists or PAs to see certain patients? Well, then maybe we want to build out those pages first. Or maybe they're full and you need more surgery, so maybe we build those pages first. So starting there is good. And then you can kind of, once you have those pages down, then the content can flow out of those, because from those pages, you're going to have at least you know, a half a dozen questions you can turn into FAQs that relate back to that page. So then you get into backlinking, and that's a different episode, but that's where everything sort of snowballs and comes together.
That's right. You know, it's been 20 plus years now that we've been talking about content generation, website creation, feeding the beast, which is the algorithms and social media and everything else. But I think like the advice that you gave 20 years ago still holds true today, and that's produce great content, publish it on your website, share it on your social media channels, and watch your practice grow.
Yeah, I mean, be authentic because patients are going to find out anyway.
That's right. So with that, I'm Jennifer.
I'm Corey.
We'll see you next time on the Dr. Marketing Tips Show. Thanks bunch.
Bye, guys.
Thanks for listening to the DrMarketingTips.com podcast. If there's anything from today's show you want to learn more about, check out DrMarketingTips.com for our podcast resource center with all the notes, links, and goodies we mentioned during the show. If you're not already a subscriber to our show, please consider pressing the subscribe button on your podcast player so you never miss one of our future episodes. And if you haven't given us a rating or review yet on iTunes, please find a spare minute and help us reach and educate even more of our medical practice peers. Thanks again for listening, and we'll catch you next time. Doctor's Orders.